What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Stacking Slabs. This is your hobby content alternative. I'm your host, Brett McGrath. I collect sports cards, and I have a podcast for two or three or four, who knows, about collecting sports cards. We're going. It is time for the flagship. I'll tell you what, for all you parents out there, especially all you parents with toddlers, I'm not sure there is anything more challenging in my day right now than trying to get the toddler down for her nap. We were like, I thought I had the strategy developed and I was executing it. And I introduced 101 Dalmatians. That was one on the rotation, or not yet on the rotation, that we were, I was planning to drop. Dropped it. We were engaged. Got all the way to the end. We were all happy. Then quiet time. See, I don't call it nap. I call it quiet time. Quiet time positioning might need to be changed again because it's just a battle, man. I'm on the other side of it. My little one's down. Hopefully she stays down. There was no nap yesterday. And by the end of the day, man, that was rough. But we're here. I got a moment. So I want to talk to you about cards. And if you are following along, you have seen this feed flooded. Yesterday, Hobby Shop Talk returned. If you haven't checked that episode out, my man Jameson at Port City Sports Collectibles, go check out what they're doing. On the other side of this episode, we have Auction Talk with my man Nick at The Wharf Sports Cards. Collector Conversations, I'll preview that for this week. But yeah, we're doing four episodes this week and we're not stopping. Shout out to all you people listening, all the fans of the Stacking Slabs podcast. Shout out to all of the brands like Card Ladder, who is the data provider of this damn platform. Shout out to the good people at Card Ladder. Shout out to all you for listening. The easiest way you can support what I'm doing over here is go run over to the Patreon. Link is in the show notes. The content is going all the time. The community component's amazing. I'm going to talk about just what I'm getting out of that. I mean, I hope people there are gaining value from the time I'm spending there, and I think they are, but I'm getting a ton of value. Intelligent people talking about cards, man. No drama, no bullshit. Just people connecting, sharing their passion, and that was the goal of what I wanted to build there, and it's happening. I hope as I continue to put out content, I can put over some people in that group who get me to think a little bit differently about cards. And I'm going to do that today. Isn't that what this is all about, man? Isn't it about learning from others, getting some inspiration, community? My goal is always like, I hope I can educate a little bit. I hope I can entertain a little bit. I hope I can inspire. The amount of comments that are happening in that space that get me to think a little bit differently are incredible. There's a comment that I always want to launch this episode with, from one of my favorite members of that group. That's James at Mad City Collector. And he commented, I was talking about sets in some content and how sets, important sets, drive a lot of what's going on in the hobby. And James remarked, this is one of the topics I think about most in the hobby. He referenced Nat Turner talking about set collecting and has been one of the most influential mindsets that James has undergone. He said, I literally did the same red PMG search last week because I was curious if I was a lunatic for paying the prices that I am for set collecting. I referenced Matt Maloney and he said, Matt Maloney made me realize I'm not the only one who pays up to build low numbered parallel sets. The backdrop of that is I think these important parallel sets and the collectors who are out there trying to build these sets really have influence in the way the hobby moves. And I think we get so caught up in looking at the hobby from a player perspective, but the more I spend time on this, the more I think the set is what matters most, and the parallels are what matters most. And what drives the price are people who are out building sets within those parameters. The Matt Maloney that was referenced, and I use PMG because whether you like it or not, when you think about parallels that people are out building sets around, PMG is the first one that comes to mind. And so I just did a search in the card ladder, and I was curious. I was like, for content that I was putting out on Patreon, I was like, what were the last five red PMG sales? And I was looking at it, and I think the first one on the list was 97.98 Metal Universe Matt Maloney PMG red out of 100. And it sold, I think this was like March 23rd, about a week ago as I'm recording this. It sold for $1,250. $1,250 for Matt Maloney. Now, anybody coming in and looking at it is like, who is spending that kind of money on a Matt Maloney card? Shout out to Matt Maloney. Shout out to the 90s. But the reason for that, I would imagine, is because someone needed that card for something that they were, or a set, a project, something that they were building or collecting. And those are just the prices that happen to come right now. And I think we get so lost sometimes in trying to justify players' performance, but a lot of the times it's based on the activity that's happening within collectors that, for the most part, is driven by nostalgia. And so I have been thinking a lot about this topic. And what I want to talk about in this episode is the difference between team collecting and team set collecting, and if there is a difference at all. So you've got team collecting and you've got team set collecting, a subset of team collecting. And are the lines blurred? Are they the same thing? I'm going to talk about that from my own individual use case in this episode of the Stacking Slabs podcast, your hobby content alternative. Thank you all for listening, and thank you for telling your damn friends and being a part of that Patreon group. Shout out to my man, Chris at C-Dice Cards. That episode was a long time coming. What a good brother. A Ravens fan with a ton of passion and a mighty good Joe Flacco collection. The reason why, aside from so many interactions over the course of several years, the reasons why I wanted to have Chris on was because I think it's really important for us to hear from passionate collectors of a specific player when that player isn't likely a first ballot Hall of Famer, but it's a player that that person loves and fuels their collecting. And it's this zone where you can buy a player's best cards for a significant amount, but not enough to make you stop. And it's that sweet spot where it's like, man, I can just keep down this path and I can afford this. And this is so much fun. And I'm building out the best collection of this player in the world. When I hear, see, or read content from people who are collecting like Chris is collecting Joe Flacco, that is interesting to me, where there's that personal connection. And his personal connection is the Baltimore Ravens, Joe Flacco being the Super Bowl winning quarterback. And so it just makes sense. And although Joe Flacco, maybe he was for a brief moment last year, isn't a hobby heartthrob, he is the hobby to Chris. And I think the more we can share our feelings about the players we collect, not to help influence those players' prices, but to share why we collect, I think that makes for a more enjoyable, interesting, and unique space to escape in when we are not spending time with our loved ones, working, grinding, doing all those things we do as ambitious human beings. I would be remiss right now if I didn't take a moment to recognize and acknowledge that it's WrestleMania week, the best time of the year. We are hitting WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. If you are going to Mania, I'm totally jealous. Take some pictures and tag at Stacking Slabs, because as a parent of two, I want to sit here and live vicariously through your updates. I am fired up. I have the schedule blocked. Check out this. We got this going on this weekend. So not only is it WrestleMania week here at the Stacking Slabs HQ, but it's also potty training for the toddler. So we're doing potty training, and then we're recognizing our tribal chief, Roman Reigns, the GOAT, on Saturday and Sunday. Most people think that Cody is going to finish his story, and maybe he does, but I'm not going to think that right now. I'm going to sit here on this week and acknowledge Roman Reigns, my GOAT, with my one finger in the air while we do our damnedest to train how we poop and pee in toilets now. It's a big week right now. And to celebrate WrestleMania week, I've got maybe the reoccurring wrestling guest in this. He's been on here a few times. My man, Adam Gelman, WWE Gelman on Instagram. You know, on the Friday Collector Conversation, I have to bring on Gelman before WrestleMania to talk about what is happening with a pocket of the hobby that I know and love. So check out that conversation on Friday. I got a plug put over, if you will, a collector in the Patreon group who I'm just really enjoying interacting with. And I'm going to plug their Instagram account, East Tennessee Card Collector, my man Kenny Benson. Kenny is a collector of vintage baseball, finest Peyton, Big Ben, and Breeze, and another smattering of football. So you've got vintage baseball as a segment he collects in, and then just finest Peyton, Big Ben, and Breeze. I love how focused we all get with our collections. He posted a 2006 finest gold out of 49, Drew Breeze, PSA 10, in the chat this week. And I've got a Peyton, not PSA 10, PSA 9, but I just love the 2006 finest product. How many 2006 finest simps are out there? Is there a better year of finest? I don't think so. That year is unlike any other. There's something about those cards. You've got the parallel structure that'll make your knees weak. And it's gold, not out of 50, it's gold out of 49. You've got the gold X-Fractors, you got the blacks, the black X-Fractors, the white borders, the Super Fractor one of ones, the white border X-Fractors. I mean, you can just go on and on. 2006 Finest kicks ass. Shout out to all you people who love 2006 Finest like me. That is a set that is near and dear to my heart. And whenever I see it, I stand up and I shout. My man Kenny's got great engagement, really enjoying learning, seeing his stuff. And what else do I want to talk about? What else do we want to talk about here? There's a lot, always a lot to talk about. Maybe I'll just like share some notes here in my brain about the National Basketball Association. The NBA is so fun. I spent some time. Here's something that wasn't in the notes, but as I'm thinking about this, I'm going to share it. It's something that I enjoy doing. I love going to live sports. It's fun. Doesn't matter what it is, what city I'm in. If I'm there and I've got time, I want to go see the arena, the fans, the team, all those. This past week, I spent 2 days in Denver meeting with new work peeps. Got to know, spent some time. And this is when you know you're in a good situation, when it was like, hey, I got some tickets. We're going to see the Nuggets. So how cool is this? Go to ball, first time, pull up. You know you're in a different place after a team wins a championship. Because it doesn't matter the night. This was a Monday night. They're playing the Grizzlies. A dismantled Grizzlies roster, if you will. But it felt like a playoff atmosphere. Literally wall-to-wall people. Ball's a cool arena. For anyone listening who is a Denver Nuggets fan who goes to the games, I'll say this. I don't know if I've ever been to an arena or stadium with music that was that loud. Literally, I don't know if it was something with the altitude, the way sound travels, but man, that shit was banging like before the game. So that this was my first time seeing Jokic live. The very first time. Obviously, I've watched him so many times. But as I'm watching him just do his thing, the closest comparison I could make in that moment was just thinking about Peyton Manning, where the intelligence and the IQ of that player on the floor or on the field is so much higher than everybody else. The greatness is because of the intelligence. Yes, there's ability, there's skill, but the intelligence is really what puts him over the top. And it was like during the Peyton era, you look at his seasons, regular seasons, 5 MVPs. He should have won the MVP every year. Literally, he was the best player playing. Yet Brady was the best playoff quarterback, you know, no doubt. But like in the regular season, what Peyton did was just insanity. And that's what I felt. That's how I feel about Jokic. So that was cool. It was cool to see the champs play. It was cool to be in their environment. It was a lot of fun. I'm like so glued in. I know March Madness is going on and it's been good, but like the NBA right now, every night as a Pacers fan feels like the playoffs. We're in that sixth spot right now as I record this. Hopefully we can stay there, beat the Lakers at home in a good game. There's some good vibes going on. So I'm excited about the playoffs. I'm excited about my Tyrese Halliburton collection, spending time building that, getting into basketball cards or re-into basketball cards. So I just wanted to say that. But I want to finish this episode by talking about team collecting, team set collecting. And I want to do it from the perspective of the 2012 Prism Gold Colts team set that I somehow stumbled into building and being a part of a main project of mine. So I think a big part of collecting for me is association with my favorite team and players within that team. And I have what I've learned over the course of time. I have a ton of nostalgia for 2012, which is Luck's rookie year. Andrew Luck had 7 fourth quarter comebacks in his rookie year. We were terrible the season before dealing with Peyton's neck injury. Then we made it back into the playoffs the following year with Luck. I recorded something in the Patreon group talking about like the Green Bay game where Reggie Wayne was everywhere and we shouldn't have won that game and we won that game. Think about the Lions comeback in Detroit. So much fun. 2012 was also a very pivotal year for the hobby, right? Panini's taking over. You've got the license still with Topps. You've got it with Panini getting started. And I think I'm beginning to get into the position of saying that Prism and the Prism brand is likely my favorite brand of cards of all time. And I think the feeling with Prism is so strong because when I got back into the hobby, full force, building a podcast, being an insane collector like all of us, Prism was the cards that were front and center. So there's that connection. So I'm already nostalgic for this product. You've got the lineage, you got the configurations, the parallel structure, everything about this product just makes sense to me. And I've never decided to build a team set until now. And I ask myself the question, what has pulled me here? Why am I in the process of building the 2012 Colts Gold team set? And it's weird how things happen sometimes, but this collecting lane wasn't a priority. And then all of a sudden, it is my top priority. And it all started at the 2023 National in Rosemont, Illinois. I finally acquired the Andrew Luck. And when I bought the Andrew Luck, it wasn't to start the 2012 team set. It was to finish the Andrew Luck Gold run. A year later, I just talked about this, I acquired the T.Y. Hilton. Well, once I had the Luck, once I had the Hilton, there was a Freenian Mathis available or was on my watch list forever. And I made the moves to pick those up. Danny, Modest Card Collector on IG, him and I were going back and forth on this topic in the group, and he was talking about his team build, and he's a Giants fan. He said he's been chasing two players, one with a public sale since 2013, and referring to these cards as ghosts of all ghosts. And then we talk about the price, and he said he felt like they were overpays at the time, but he hasn't regretted either purchase because he hasn't seen them pop up again. And I think when you're building out a team set, it makes you do irrational things at irrational times. And this no recent comps movement mentality that Nick at the Worst Sports Cards has been talking about is legitimate. The prices that I was willing to pay for the Freeney and Mathis were far and beyond the most significant sales of those cards ever, but those cards haven't sold. I made my purchase of Robert Mathis 2012 Gold Prism PSA 10. It was the highest paying, I paid the highest out of any Robert Mathis card publicly ever. And I had no problem with it because I love Robert Mathis. I have nostalgia for 2012. I have nostalgia for 2012 Prism. And I'm connected in because I'm building this team set. The impact of set collecting, player, team, or entire set on value on cards is a whole nother episode, a whole nother conversation, and maybe a whole nother podcast. I could get lost in this topic because it's interesting and it's fascinating and it drives the value of cards. There's zero chance I thought I would pay what I did for Robert Mathis cards, but here for a Robert Mathis card, but here's where we are. I think context and situation is all that really matters. Am I going to get a chance to do this again? If I don't think I'm going to get a chance to buy this or do this again, I'm going to do it. What am I willing to pay right now to secure my chance to do that? That's the hardest part. I just picked up a freaking Donnie Avery card. 2012 Gold Prism Donnie Avery. I didn't think I'd pay a couple $100 for this 6 months ago, but here I am. I need vets like Reggie Wayne, Delone Carter, Donald Brown, rookies like Vic Ballard, Dwayne Allen, and Kobe Fleener. I want to complete this set more than anything else I want to do, and it feels like collecting player runs. I've never considered myself a team collector, but I've looked at my purchase history over the last 2 months, and it's riddled full of Colts players. Team collectors, I've always thought, are overwhelming, but we're all team collectors if we're dedicated and passionate to our teams. Team set collectors might just be a different angle to look at it. It provides you focus, a love for the cards that you want to, and love for a specific time frame. I think collecting cards is one of the most interesting things any of us can do. And the way we talk about them and the way we express what we collect makes things even more interesting. This is such an amazing hobby. We all have stories, we all have passion, and we all express them through our collecting. I love when I pull up the Instagram app or pull up the Patreon group and see people share their cards and provide context for why they're sharing it or why they purchased it. It inspires, and it's what it's all about. My name is Brett McGrath. I love collecting cards and I love creating content around cards. This is the Stacking Slabs podcast. I'll be back with Auction Talk tomorrow and then a collector conversation with WWE Gelman, my man Adam. Make sure you check those out. If you want to support this platform more, go join the Patreon group. Would love to see you there. Take care of yourself and talk to you soon.